scriptures, and then we'll take some communion together. Hopefully you all received a candle on the way in. Who does not have a candle? You don't have to raise your hand. You could just act like you're going to the bathroom, go back out into the lobby, pick one up, but you'll need it here in a few minutes as we go on here. If you did bring your Bible this morning, or this evening, sorry, turn to Luke chapter 2. For those of you who are visiting with us, we welcome you here. Thanks for spending your Christmas time with us. If you're with your family, we welcome you. Here at Faith Community Church, we've been having a conversation for about a month now on Advent and Action. The punchline of it all is simply we want to live the Christmas story, not just tell the Christmas story or know the Christmas story, but we want to embody the Christmas story. And so we're going to conclude in our discussion tonight with the life of Mary, particularly how Luke talks about Mary. And even more particular than that, the way Luke talks about Mary and the way that she marveled about all the action that was going on in and around her son. And if you look at Luke chapter 2 and verses 19 and 51, there's a refrain that's repeated. And those of us who study the Bible and read the Bible, when something is repeated, we have to really pay attention to it. And so what I'd like to look at tonight is those two occurrences of the same phrase. So if you look at verse 19, verse 51, it says this, that Mary treasured all of these things. And then the verse 51 says, and pondered them in her heart. But what's interesting is that when these two things are mentioned, they're actually mentioned in polar opposite experiences in the Christmas story. I don't know if you've seen that before, but the first time this phrase comes up, it's kind of a light and hearty mood. But the second time it comes up, it's actually a bit more of an anxious mood. And so this paradox is interesting. So let's dive right into the different experiences with this one phrase. Once again, the occasions in which they show up are important, and they highlight what happens at Christmas time, in my opinion. All of us don't arrive on the Christmas season in the same place. Some of us are in a place where we've been struggling in life. We feel perhaps a sense of absence in our life, but other of us, we have a sense of joy and fullness. And so what we see in these two phrases is that Mary is met with both of them. The first one is an interesting one. In the first time that this phrase is used, this is right after the shepherds come and they tell Mary their story about how angels came in the fields, and they told this great message about how there's a Savior born in Bethlehem. And so this first time this phrase comes up, it's a full story. Mary's life is full at this moment. She is experiencing a full house with a full table, and her arms are full because the baby that was promised to her is given to her. So it's a very joyous and full occasion. It's a place where all these people are filling up her house and all the expectations are met. And even as an Israelite, her expectations of her story are being met. But the second time this phrase comes up, I have to pardon my notes, I have them timed. There they go. The second time this reference comes up is not as easy as the first time. The second time this phrase comes up, it's when Mary and Joseph had gone to Jerusalem again to worship at the festival, and they lost Jesus. Imagine that. This is God himself among them. They've been given the charge to take care of God, and they lost God in the streets of Jerusalem. And so after 3 days of looking high and low, you can imagine that they were relieved when they found Jesus. But the second time Mary ponders in her heart, this expression is filled with fear, is filled with anxiety, bewilderment, perhaps. The first time this phrase came up, there was fullness. Her life was full. She was energized. She felt complete. The second time this phrase came up, she was empty. She was worried. She was afraid. Not the same place when these different when the same phrase come up in these different times. Mary is scrambling here, and I can imagine, as you can imagine, that she was panicking in that moment. But this idea of fullness and emptiness meets us at Christmas. As a matter of fact, you and I probably stood in a line in this holiday season next to people who had a fullness in their Christmas experience and an emptiness in their Christmas experience. Perhaps you stood next to somebody in line who, it's the first time their kids haven't been home for Christmas because they're off in college and they're off doing something else and they're not coming home for Christmas, and the profound emptiness that they would have experienced. Or perhaps we stood next in line to somebody else with a different story. Perhaps that person had been estranged from a relative, and they've avoided each other at different Christmas seasons. But that friend or that relative sent them a message that they're going to be home for Christmas and they'd like to spend some time together. Christmas treats us in this way. It reaches out to us in our profound emptiness, in our profound fullness. And so what we need to decide tonight is, do we deserve to embrace the Christmas season? That's not what's up for debate tonight as we look at the story of Jesus. But how can God meet me exactly where I am? As I've ministered among this church, I have found that over and over again, we find times of loneliness, but also times of fullness. And so once again, Christmas has come. And we can circle it on the calendars. There's something that we can expect about Christmas. Some of us have been counting down the days, or we made one of those hoop calendars, or our kids did it in the classroom at school. Other of us, we've been counting it up, down the paychecks of when Christmas is coming, right? That's the way we've been counting down in the Scalon household. So there's something that we can expect about Christmas. But as we see in the story of Mary in this high season and in this low season, that sometimes Christmas, we don't know what to expect. Christmas isn't as tangible or as expecting as we thought that we might have about the Christmas season. But I think what Christmas can be at times is like a flash mob, where it's different. It seizes us. It surprises us. You know, a flash mob happens where you're just hanging out in a shopping mall and all of a sudden some loud music comes up and people start dancing like they're crazy. And the next thing you know, in the middle of all these dancers, some guy's proposing to his girlfriend and it's a great event. And all of a sudden, Town West Mall or the train station or wherever we went to this flash mob or saw this flash mob, it's different. It's no longer Town West. It's the place where we saw this amazing experience. Christmas is like that as well. And Christmas is not a projector or a projection where we know what's going to happen every single Christmas season, but it's like a projectile. It's something that's thrown at us. It's something that reaches out and meets us. It's something that no matter where we are and the place we're at and the experience that we have and the story that we're inhabiting and the story that we're telling, God can reach out to us. So what we see, as we've sung in other times in O Little Town of Bethlehem, the hopes and the fears through all the years are met in Jesus. If you and I are in a place of hope tonight, Jesus meets us there. If we're in a place of fear tonight or bewilderment, Jesus meets us there. The profound thing about Christmas is that all of us and all of life belongs. Christmas seizes us. We don't seize Christmas. It finds a way, like an event, to surprise us and to catch us up again. It reminds us that there's a good God out there who is not a respecter of persons, but wants to come and meet every single one of us. And so I conclude tonight with John 3:16-17. For us to be reminded of the great gift that God has given us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. For the Son did not enter into the world to condemn the world, but to save it and to claim it as his own. What you and I need to hear this Christmas season is that there's a good, loving God, full of rich, deep mercy for every single one of us. And that rich, deep mercy will meet us in the full moments like Mary experienced that night when her house or that stable, wherever they're at in Bethlehem, was full of people and shepherds were crowding in. And as her arms were full, she was holding her new baby boy. But Christmas will also meet us when the table is empty, when we wonder if anyone knows we exist, if we have a hard time thinking that we can continue on. Christmas and the Christ of Christmas meets us there. Tonight we're going to spend some time in communion. And as we spend time in communion, we're going to be reminded of that great gift and presence in our lives. And so I pray that you and I would carry these words, how God meets us in a high place and a low place, that our heart can ponder and treasure in the high times that maybe you and I are experiencing, or even the low times as we struggle during this Christmas season. The good God is ready to meet us here. Let's spend some time in prayer this evening. God of all grace and truth, We marvel at who you are. That you're the God who did not leave us as we were, but you're the God who reached out to us. That Christmas is not so much like a projection, something that we can predict, that we can expect every single time, every single year, but it's a projectile. Your love and grace reaching out and meeting us exactly where we need you to meet us. So God, in this Christmas season, we confess as a community that though we all belong at this table, we're not all in the same place as we gather around this table. But just as you told us, we should not fear because you have overcome the world. We thank you tonight that we can have great hope. That even though there are rumors and signs that this world has turned away from you, during this season, we are reminded that you came and dwelt among us so that you could rescue us. So God, tonight we pray that you would come with a mighty rescue. For some of us, God, we have dabbled perhaps in religion, we've dabbled in Christianity, but perhaps we haven't come to a place where we have suggested we would say that we put our whole trust in you, we've desired to follow Jesus. So God, tonight I pray that you would meet us there. That your mercy and grace would reach out to us and would apprehend us at that place. God, some of us, we've been following you a long time, but because of different things that have happened in our life, we've gotten a bit busy or we've had some rival expectations and pursuits in our life. But in this moment of sobriety, we confess that we need to reach out to you again. But even as we think and desire to do so, we experience that you're already reaching out to us. May your embrace challenge us and warm us tonight. God, for some of us who come into the Christmas season at a high place, I pray that our hearts would continue to explode as we experience the matchless grace of Jesus. But God, for those of us who come around this table in a low place tonight, may your grace lift us and encourage us and cause us to be stirred and renewed this evening. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. He said, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat. Do this in remembrance of me." And after the supper, he took the cup and he said, "This is my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins, a brand new covenant. Take, drink, do this in remembrance of me." Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we gather tonight at a Christmas candlelight, aware of your presence among us. Allow your grace and allow your mercy to fill us and to challenge us fresh and new as we continue to worship and pray to you tonight. We ask all these things in Jesus' name, and all of God's people say, amen. Now I need to give us all some instructions. Take out your candle if you have it. And during this last worship song together, we're going to share in communion together. And we have four communion stations scattered throughout the room. One is probably really close to where you're sitting tonight. What I would like you to do is, if you're in this section, you're going to go to this communion table, this section to that one, and that one to that one, and that one to that one, okay? But take your candle with you. And as you go to communion, I want you to come into the middle aisle. So if you're in the back half, I want you to go to the aisle and go backwards to your table, wind back to your table, and come back from the outside. If you're in these sections, I want you to come in the middle here and to go take communion. But keep your candle with you, because after you take your communion, I want us all to begin to gather down the middle here. There's a cross beam of sorts here that I'd like for some of us to stand horizontally here. And then for some of us to make our way towards the stage and make our way all the way to the back, so that as we sing Silent Night and light our candles together, we'll make a cross shape with our whole crowd here as we light our candles together. So I'm going to pray once again. We're going to have communion. We're going to sing during this communion song, and make your way to the middle and around, and then make the cross shape with our crowd as we do so. Is anybody confused yet? If so, follow the lead. And if this doesn't work, blame Pastor Ryan, because this is all his idea. All right. Let's pray as we go into a time of communion worship. God, as we gather to you now and gather with one another, may the horizontal grace of Christ and the vertical grace of Christ be experienced in this moment. We pray that your presence would linger here with us and allow us in our hearts and our souls and our minds to experience the depths of who you are and your mercy for us. We ask all these things in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Let's stand together, enjoy communion together, and gather in a cross together as we sing.